Blog Talk Radio.
G
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus.
Say his name, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. fill this arena with his name, Jesus. Jesus, there's just something about your name. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something. The only thing that remains is our soon and coming King.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, I honor you on tonight, God. Shut me down, Lord God, and you stand up big in me, God. You say what you want to be said tonight, God. Feed your people, God. Feed them in abundance, God. You know what everybody stands in need of, God. And I fully expect you to meet everybody's needs on tonight, God. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. There is indeed a word from the Lord on tonight. The foundational text will be coming from Luke 7, verses 36 through 50, and I will be reading from the Amplified Bible. And also, the foundational text will also be John 12, verses 1 through 11. And the title of this message is Two Women, Two Encounters, One God. Luke 7, starting with verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to dine with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the town who was an especially wicked sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's home, brought an alabaster flask of ointment perfume. And standing behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and she wiped them with her hair of her head and kissed his feet affectionately and anointed them with the ointmented perfume. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would surely know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a notorious sinner, a social outcast, devoted to sin. And Jesus replied, said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, Teacher, say it. A certain lender of money, isn't it funny how it starts off, Scripture, then Jesus just goes into a story. He makes a parable to get this man to understand. At least he tries to. At verse 41, a certain lender of money, at interest had two debtors. One owed him 500 denaro and the other 50. When they had no means of paying, he freely forgave them both. Now which of them would love him more? Simon answered, the one, I take it, whom he forgave and counseled more. And Jesus said to him, you have decided correctly. Then turning to the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? When I came into your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, from the moment I came in, has not ceased intermittently to kiss my feet tenderly and caressingly. You did not anoint my head with cheap ordinary oil, but she has anointed my feet with costly rare perfume. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, many as they are forgiven her, because she has loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Verse 49. Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Verse 50. But Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go into peace and freedom from all the distresses that are experienced as a result of sin. I like that verse. But Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go into peace and freedom from all the distresses that are experienced as a result of sin. The Bible says in Psalms 34, verse 18, New Century Version, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those whose spirit has been crushed. Also, Proverbs 18 and 14 in the New Century Version says, the will to live can get you through sickness, but no one can live with a broken heart. But no one can live with a broken heart. That's what was going on in Luke 7. This dear woman's heart was broken, crushed. No doubt she was tired of being talked about but never talked to, labeled but never once had anyone cared enough to question how her life got that way. Proverbs 25 and verse 8 in the Message Bible warns us about seeing things from the outside view and jumping to conclusions. Proverbs 25 and verse 8 in Message Bible. Don't jump to conclusions. There may be a perfectly good explanation for what you just saw. Sometimes love means being able to listen to a person's story without judging. Sometimes love means being able to listen to a person's story without judging. James 1:19 in the Amplified Bible says, My beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, and slow to speak. Matthew 7:1, do not judge or you too will be judged. I'm sure somebody listening tonight can relate to this dear woman. You are tired of being judged, called a social outcast, among other things. She was broken, crushed, tired. She had lost her will to go on like that. And some of you are saying, Lord, I'm tired of doing things my way. Ecclesiastes 3:11 in the Amplified Bible. God has planted eternity in man's hearts and minds, a divinely implanted sense of purpose, working throughout the ages, with nothing under the sun but God alone. Somebody say, nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy. But love, feel that tugging on your heart. For others, you feel like it's an emptiness. Only God can satisfy. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together. Let's talk, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Verse 19, if you are willing. The first step to going from where you are into a closer relationship with him is you must be willing to release your will. You must be willing to release your will. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat, experience the best from the land. God has the best for you. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened by life's trials, and I will give you rest. Somebody said again, nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy. Feel that release in your spirit. Back to the text. Luke 7. So when she hears that Jesus was at the Pharisee's house, she made up her mind. Though the Pharisees were the main one talking about her, she made up her mind to bring Jesus the best love offering she had, an alabaster box of expensive perfume. This dear woman understood what most so-called Christians today have forgotten. If you want the devour to stop eating at your life, tithe 10%. That's Malachi 3:11. She understood, if you want to show God the obedience of your heart, bring him an offering. Matthew 6:21. Your heart will be wherever your treasure is, that thing which is most valuable to you. Here this dear woman was having an encounter. She was interacting with Jesus, and all the Pharisees could talk about is her reputation, the hearsay knowledge that was going around about town. Some of you all can relate to that. You know what it feels like to have somebody talking about you, and your reputation has spread further than you've ever gone. I'm not saying that what they're saying about you is true. It might be, it might not be, but still it's not a good feeling. Luke 7, verse 39 in Amplified. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw it, her weeping and washing Jesus' feet, that is, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would surely know who and what sort of woman this is touching him, for she is a notorious sinner, a social outcast devoted to sin. But never once did Jesus refer to this woman as a notorious sinner, a social outcast. That's what I love about him. 1 Samuel 16:7 in the Amplified Bible says, for the Lord sees not as a man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. But love, I don't care what people call you, have called you, it's God you are seeking to be right with, not man. And he's checking your heart. Let me say that again for you. But love, I don't care what people call you, have called you, it's God you are seeking to be right with, not man, and he's checking your heart. Jesus was looking at the heart of this woman. Yes, she had done some wrong things, made some bad choices, but still her heart was soft towards God. And because her heart was soft towards him, she could feel him and he could feel her. Luke 7, verse 38. And standing behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet affectionately and anointed them with perfume. Tears, weeping, is an act of worship, love towards God. She, who they called a sinner, treated Jesus like an honored guest. Though he was not in her home, he was in her heart. She loved Jesus. She worshiped him. The Pharisee, like many religious so-called Christians, had Jesus in his home. He was in the presence of God, and all he could do was ask questions. He wanted to know every unnecessary detail. If this man were a prophet, he surely would know what sort of woman this is touching him, all of which was shallow and unimportant. What was important was that he was not touching the presence. He was not touching him. The Pharisee, like many religious so-called Christians, was in God's presence and felt nothing. Jesus was in his home, but not in his heart. Ladies, because this woman touched Jesus, I believe we can touch Jesus. There is something special about the anointing God has placed on the heart of a woman. And I'm going to read that again just because I'm a woman. And when God gave that to me, that made me feel special tonight. And I hope it makes another female feel special tonight. Ladies, because this woman touched Jesus, I believe we can touch Jesus. There is something special about the anointing God has placed on the heart of a woman. Luke 7:44. Turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? When I came into your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears." Somebody is crying out tonight. Keep wetting Jesus' feet with your tears. Let no one tell you your behavior is out of order. Somebody is crying out to Jesus tonight. Keep wetting his feet with your tears. Let no one tell you your behavior is out of order. And she wiped them with her hair. Verse 45, You gave me no kiss, but she, from the moment I came in, has not ceased intermittently to kiss my feet, tenderly, caressingly. Verse 46, You did not anoint my head with oil, with cheap, ordinary oil, but she has anointed my feet with costly, rare perfume. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, many as they are forgiven her, because she has loved much, because she has loved much. But he is forgiven little who loves little. Want your sins forgiven? Tonight, choose to love God more than you love the sin. Show him, and he will show you freedom. Want your sins forgiven? Tonight, choose to love God more than you love the sin. Show him, and he will show you freedom. Verse 48, and he, Jesus, said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Verse 49, then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" They still didn't understand the magnitude of his presence. And this said, verse 50, but Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go into the peace, into freedom from all the distresses that are experienced as a result of sin." Distresses come from the result of sin. Never get so familiar with God that you take his presence for granted. Don't be a Pharisee. Never get so familiar with God that you take his presence for granted. Don't be a Pharisee. Sin causes stress, but there is peace and freedom and salvation. Enter in. That was encounter one, a sin of forgiving much, from which we can all relate, I'm sure. Now let's look at John 12:1-11. And this is Mary worshiping, and her purpose for doing so was Jesus' burial. At first glance, you would think these two encounters are the same, but they're not. Once again, I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. John 12, and I'm going to read 1 through 11. So 6 days before the Passover feast, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had died and whom he raised from the dead. So they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of ointment and pure liquid nard, a rare perfume that was very expensive, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. And the whole house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. So to me that means that when she poured it on Jesus and the house was filled with the perfume, the whole house smelled like Jesus. Cool. As my goddaughter would say. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii, a year's wages for an ordinary workman, and that money given to the poor, the destitute?" Now, he did not say this because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And having the bag, the money box, the purse of the 12, he took for himself what was put into it, piffling the collections. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. It was intended that she should keep it for the time of my preparation for burial. She has kept it so that she might have it for the time of my embalming. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Now, a great crowd of the Jews heard that he was at Bethany, and they came there. not only because of Jesus, but because they wanted to see Lazarus, who he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death also, because one encounter of him, many Jews were going away, were withdrawing from and leaving the Judeans and believing and adhering to Jesus. You know what? I read all of that just to tell you this. If you are saved, you shouldn't have a problem presenting your best gift to God after all the miraculous things he's done in your life, starting with salvation. Because I don't know about you, it's miraculous to me that I'm saved. So starting with salvation, and he continues to do miraculous things today. He raised Lazarus' body from the grave, and he rescued your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions from the grave. So likewise, just as Mary used her perfume, her anointing, to prepare Jesus for burial, you should be using your perfume, your anointing, to prepare the way for the return of Christ. Your witness should be drawing spectators. And don't worry about what people say or try to do for Christ. This is your reasonable act of service. That is the end of my message. I appreciate you listening. If there's anybody online that has a prayer request at this time, you can match one, and I'll be more than happy to pray with you. Match one if you have a prayer request and you're online listening on the telephone. If not, I thank you for being there. Hope you were blessed by the message. I'm going to play One Step Away because I want everybody to know that Jesus is just one step away, and there might be somebody listening over the Internet that want to call in, and this song would be your opportunity to do so.
lift your hand up. When you put your hand up, you're going to stick your hand into the kingdom. He's there.
The Lord put this scripture in my spirit for the callers and for you all listening online. It is Isaiah 48. I'm going to start at verse 16 and 17. Come near and listen to this. From the first announcement, I have not spoken in secret. At the time it happens, I am there. And now the sovereign Lord has sent me with his spirit. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way that you should go. The Lord let me know that there's somebody online, somebody called in that needs direction. It's my prayer for you all that God will lead and direct you into that great encounter with him, that he may change your life, that he may direct your path, that he may reroute you in some areas, and that he may close your ears to people talking negatively about you, that he may set you free for some things that you're struggling with, that you may feel his freedom, his love, and his peace, and that he may always cover you, and that you may be well protected from your enemies, both outwardly and inwardly. Our outward enemy is the ones that you can see, and the inward enemies are things like depression, things like doubt, all those things that come against you. I pray that the Lord will shield you and protect you and always keep you from those things, and that nothing will stop you from doing what God called you to do. You will fulfill your mission. You will do what God has called you to do. I thank you once again for listening on tonight. I hope you were blessed. And once again, I'm praying for you, and I hope you have a great encounter with the Lord, because you may be two people. There may be two different encounters going on, but there's only one God. He's the only one you need, and his name is Jesus Christ. And before I go, I'm going to give you my contact information just in case you need me. If you would like, you can contact me on twitter.com/prolificfire, just like the show, Prolific Fire. Or you can follow me on Facebook at facebook.com, Prophetess Stacy. Or if you need prayer or private consultation in the things of God throughout the week, feel free to email me, prolificfire@gmail.com. That's prolificfire@gmail.com. And I would pray with you. I would give you scriptures. I would tell you what the Lord's telling me about the situation. And I would get back to you as soon as possible. And also, Prolific Fire is on iTunes. Bless the Lord for iTunes. If you miss any of the shows, you can just go on iTunes and look up Prolific Fire with Prophetess Stacy. It's a free podcast. It is free, and all of the shows are there. Just want to follow you and be a blessing to you throughout the week. God bless you. I love you all. Good night.